Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Someone started recording.
Exactly.
In case you drop a bomb or something, I have to start recording.
I've been in the pool for like 3 hours.
Sounds terrible.
If my eyes are red, I'm not stoned or anything.
Stay off the weed. So how's things?
What's going on? Everything's good. Everything's good. Just busy with the kiddos. Fuck.
Can see that. So you, when are you coming to Norway?
Leave on, what day is today? Thursday. I leave on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday. Pretty.
Yeah, so get there Monday. I'm trying to change my flight to get there earlier. Trying to get there in the morning, but it just depends on whether Delta will allow Sherry to change her flight. They'll let me change my flight, but because she's has no status and she's on point, I obviously bought her a ticket, but she has no status, so we'll see. See what happens.
Yep.
So if I don't change my flight, then I'll get there at 4 o'clock Monday afternoon.
All right. That's not too bad.
No. How you boys been?
Good. We're good.
I played with your guy yesterday.
Yeah.
We played around yesterday, so that was fun. It looked like he needed a couple of rounds with the boys.
Yes.
It was, we're just joking around for 4 hours and you could really feel like from him that he needs the break and just just start over again. If kind of
reset.
He just needs the time with the buddies and just joke around, play golf. And then he played brilliant.
Well, that's exactly what I said to him. And I said, that's exactly what he needed. And I'm glad he took it on board and he's doing what he's doing now to, as I said, reset and just start being him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really looked like you could feel the positive vibes with just being, it was him and Kevin and myself and one of my friends as well, a stand-up comedian.
So it was nice. Just,
there was no serious conversations from, there was just a lot of bullshit from start to end.
Perfect.
And the stand-up comedian, he played the golf of his life. He played the best round of his life as well. So him and I beat Kevin and Victor on the last green.
Giddy up.
So he was like, awesome. All over. He just posted on Facebook after, I don't know what you've been doing this today, but I just beat Victor Holman.
I love it.
Victor Holland just awesome. Paid my lunch, he wrote.
that's exactly what he needed. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I'm glad he's back at his roots.
Yeah.
Just enjoying himself again, being a kid. That's the most important thing for him, I think, at this stage of his career, time, whatever you want to call it.
There's been 2.5-3 years now with just comes to an end, but it comes to a point where it's just a little bit too much.
And that's exactly what I said to him. I'm like, look, tour life is toxic. And, there's so many expectations from, so many people, from whether it's the Norwegians, whether it's fans in general. He needs that time to be himself. And that's the most important thing right now. You know, you look at what he's achieved in such a short amount of time, and the way that, how can I explain this? The time frame that it's happened super fast, just like Colin Morikawa.
Mm.
And, you know, they've both gone through the same channels per se. And, you know, they've both dealt with, you know, a little bit of, you know, obviously Colin's won two major championships. He's won however many times. Victor's won, was it 5 times now? And, you know, they expect that on a consistent basis. And when it doesn't happen, they put all this added pressure on themselves to perform. And, you know, golf is a hard game, as you all know, Maris. Like, golf isn't meant to be easy. And Victor and Colin have made it look really easy for the last 2 years. And now they're seeing golf not being hard, but they're seeing the other side of it, where that's not what golf's about all the time. And they're going through that now. Obviously, Colin had a 5th place finish at the US Open, which is great to see. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll see Victor have some more good results coming through in the, you know, not too distant future. But, you know, just getting back to his roots and doing what he needs to do to be the person that he is, I think it's very important for him.
Mm. And as you're saying, you know, it's been over 2 years with, I mean, unreal results, both for Victor and Colin. And I mean, a lot of Norwegians, you know, through the corona times and everything have been, they're quite new to golf. And, you know, us Norwegians, we're used to seeing these winter sports competitors, you know, winning every week or coming top three. And I think that kind of has translated to Victor. I mean, especially since he's been so consistent, you know, we're expecting top tens. We're expecting all these great things. And for me, or at least for the people who know golf, it's probably been just amazing to that it lasted so long with his consistency. And now, I mean, you just kind of wait for him to get on this, what would I say, not exactly on a down, but to have some kind of a drop in form. You know, that's just part of golf. And I think a lot of Norwegians are like, you know, they're texting me, they're texting Marius, you know, what's wrong? Where is he? What's happening? You know, and what's happening is golf, completely normal.
That's
right?
Exactly right. And you know, the most important thing for him is to have, from my point of view, is to have the support system around him. I think that's very important. Like, you know, what you're saying, Marius, going out playing golf with his buddies and just having a good time. You know, excuse the French, but shooting the shit. Without any type of pressure, just going out there and playing golf, doing what he does best. Because, you know, as we all know, he's unbelievably talented. But, you know, when the mind gets in the way and a little bit of self-doubt gets in the way, then that's when you see, you know, the dip in form, whether you're playing golf, whether you're playing any individual sport, whether it's tennis, skiing, you know, anything individual is extremely difficult to keep that high caliber of play, because it's always going to happen. So for him to go through this at an early age, like, you know, I always think, like, you know, Jack Nicklaus always used to say, you know, the prime of your career is in your mid to late 30s. He's 24 years of age. And for him to go through this now, as I always say, what doesn't kill you is going to make you stronger. And this is going to make him stronger. It's going to make him better. And we're going to see some unbelievable results in the not too distant future.
It counts for everyday life as well. How many, if you count all the work days, any normal guy has or normal girl has during a year? How many good work days, how many days at work do you have when everything goes your way? Probably, yeah, not more than 10, 20 where everything goes your way. And he's in that period now where it doesn't quite go his way. There's always some obstacle he can't really get over, and the mistakes look a bit worse than they actually are. And that happens in everyday life as well. It's just that people have just learned to expect that when Victor plays bad, he's tied 21st. When he plays great, he's in the fight for the win, and all of a sudden he's 41st and missing his first cut since February, and people are like, okay, he's off, he's lost it.
Yeah,
like so far away from the truth. So it's like,
that's so true.
So yeah, true. It's a bit bothering, yeah. It's not bothering because it's part of our job to analyze and to kind of find the areas where we can see he needs to improve. He knows it, so he doesn't need to hear it from us. But when I played with him yesterday, and I said to him today, I was like, it's really not a problem for you. Like, you played two rounds at the, it's okay, it's a Norwegian course, but you still gone out and played two rounds at 13 under par without even, as the round we played yesterday, he didn't even have a par putt.
Yeah.
He didn't have to hold one single par putt.
Yeah.
It was just effortless. And then he went out today and said, I actually felt better today. I was like, okay, your level is way beyond. I played a solid round for myself. Like I was over the moon. I played really well.
What did you shoot?
Like, I shot 200 and I was like, this is pretty good with a lost ball. So I was like, all right. I made six birdies. I made four birdies and an eagle. I was like,
yeah,
this. And I wasn't even close. So I was like, okay. So yeah, it's just about, you can say whatever you want about playing. I don't know if you agree with me, Shay, but you can say whatever you want about playing a Norwegian easy, simple course with slow greens and not penalizing rough. But if you shoot 700, 600, 700, it's always going to feel good. You're always going to be confident.
I couldn't agree more. I don't care what course you play.
No.
You know, it's going to create confidence, and it's going to, you know, get you back to where you know you can do it without any self-doubt, for sure.
Yeah, you know, of course I could see that a couple of irons, like he let go a couple of the second shots of the irons, they just floated a little bit to the right, and I was like, okay, that miss on Brookline is probably bogey land, but still he hit a lot of, he's way more good shots. And it's like, if you should go out and shoot, If he ends up playing 10 rounds when he's in Norway and he shoots 65 under par, that has to feel pretty good.
Yep.
You have to feel that, okay, the game is not too far. If I just do this, the same thing I've done today, if I just do that at St. Andrews, I'll be fine.
So true. So true. Yeah. No, I'm super excited with what lies ahead, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that break... The break is definitely put him in good stead, that's for sure.
Yeah, because we're talking about, I mean, a dip in form, which for the average tour player would be actually a decent stretch result-wise. But I mean, I'm kind of curious just to you know, you and Victor haven't been through like a tough period so far since he came out on the tour. And how has it been for you the last couple of months? You know, have you met any... Or have you felt that you have gotten like some new challenges, some new perspective on things? How have you tried to work with him to keep him in sync?
The most important thing, you know, now is just communication. You know, I haven't felt anything out of the ordinary that I've been through with other players when they go through a slight slump, as you guys call it, as, you know, fans call it. But, you know, it's just a matter of staying positive, staying, me personally, like I'm an extremely positive person. I'm very level keeled. I always try to see the positives in everything. There are a lot of positives in Victor's game. And I think, you know, just keeping the communication going, keeping just trying to enjoy being out there. Like, obviously it's been extremely difficult because we haven't had the results that everyone's expecting from that standpoint. But, you know, on the flip side of it, it's just a matter of, you know, trying to go out there, trying to have fun, trying to keep the communication going and just let this wave go through, as I call it, and just getting through the end of it and, yeah, seeing the results come through as they do, because I know they're going to. It's just a matter of time.
Because we've seen some kind of uncharacteristic rounds from him, at least, you know, the one in the Saturday in Memorial, and then of course the Friday in the US Open. But I mean that's not more to than just that's how golf works. And if you kind of get into your own head maybe after a couple of mistakes, then it just snowballs.
That's so true. And, you know, once again, you know, expectations, being result orientated instead of just going out there and playing golf. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, I try to bring to the table, you know, trying to take the result out of the equation, trying to just play golf, pretend that you're playing with your mates like you did, Marius, yesterday, and just trying to have fun. Because, as I said, you know, tour life is very toxic. It's very stressful. It's, you know, you're in pressure cooker situations every single day when you're out there with, like I said, expectations, not from yourself, but, you know, from outside entities. And, you know, that's extremely difficult to handle on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And, you know, this was always going to happen. But staying positive and keeping the communication going and just trying to have fun as much as you can, as much as it, you know, I'm sure it hasn't been fun for him because, you know, he hasn't been playing the golf that he's accustomed to. And that's the most difficult part. But from my perspective, you know, being there for him, not just as a caddy, but as a friend as well, like, you know, someone to lean on. And I think that's very important in this situation.
For sure. And you were supposed to be at the Travelers this week. The announcement that Victor had withdrawn came like quite quickly after the US Open. Was that an easy decision or how did that pan out?
Very easy decision. You know, I think as Marius said, you know, he needs his time at home to be with his friends, to reset, to get back to his roots, to get away from tour life, to get away from the pressure of trying to perform and just go and play golf, be a kid and be the person that he is.
Sounds like a good recipe for success. So 3 weeks until the Open now. How have you guys, how are you going to prepare? Like, you know, now he's taking some time off, but I guess at some point he'll start, you know, focusing more on what's going to happen at St. Andrews.
Yeah, there's no talk about the British Open at all. It's all about him having fun, hanging out with his friends, hanging out with his family, having as much time as possible with them. And as I said, just getting back to him being him. And everything will work itself out.
Is that a difference from, do you feel it's like a difference from earlier? Because my impression earlier was that there wasn't any particular preparation for any specific tournament. It was a tournament week and he came and did what he knew how, had to do. Has that changed a little bit lately? Maybe has he started thinking about, you mentioned before Bay Hill that he felt he needed to like, contend more in bigger events. Have you felt any different in the preparations or anything like that?
Not so much. You know, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, in terms of trying to perform in bigger events, he feels like, you know, he doesn't feel like he wants to play well at bigger events because that's the progression that he's seen. And it doesn't matter what event it is, you need to go out and perform, whether it's you're playing at the Travelers Championship this week, whether you're playing in Mexico in a couple of months' time, whether you're playing at the US Open, it doesn't matter. And I think that, you know, as time goes on and as this evolves, he's going to understand that it's just another event. And like he keeps saying, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on myself, whether it's at the Masters, whether it's US Open, but that's pretty much what he's done.
Mm.
And it's not a matter of preparation per se. It's a matter of a mental mindset of, okay, this is just another event. This is, and I want him to feel like he's just playing with his mates, whether he's playing at home in Norway, whether he's playing at Carsten with his mates in Stillwater. It's still a game of golf. And as I said, the pressure situations of tour life does heighten that. And that's important for him to learn from and be a better person as a golfer and be a little bit wiser moving forward.
Yeah, well, I wish he was playing in Mexico every week, that's for sure. regarding the Travelers, is him skipping the Travelers, some people were kind of discussing whether that would mean that the chances of him playing the Scottish Open would increase, but that's still not on the cards, or no?
You might know more than me. I'm in America.
Actually, I think I do.
Okay. Well, Marius might know more than me.
Yeah, I know. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I didn't really, because he talked to somebody else, so I didn't hear what he said. But he mentioned Scottish Open.
Okay.
I don't know if he said I'm skipping or I'm playing. I just heard he mentioned that he was talking to somebody else, and I didn't quite pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know if he's playing. I don't know that he's playing. As I said, we've been texting back and forth, but everything other than how the golf game is or anything like that, it's just been, you know, just chatting about anything and everything. So yeah, there's no confirmation on the Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know more than me, then please tell me so I can
I'll let you know.
It's not the first time you have gotten some news through us.
Exactly. I just roll with it.
Yeah. So I guess there's not a lot of stuff like confirmed after the Open, because, you know, the FedEx playoffs is about a month after the Open. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the plan is to play the Open, take 3 weeks off, and then play the playoffs.
Okay.
Whether that changes or not, once again, you might know more than me.
No.
Okay. Okay, Shay. Show Mars.
I got nothing.
We actually posted on Twitter that we were going to have you on the podcast, so we've gotten some questions. But before that, I mean, that actually some of the questions are also about, you know, we just have to ask you about the big talking point in the golfing world these days, the LIV Golf. What is your impression of it, and how do you feel it has, like, it must be like a big thing also, you know, on this PGA Tour circus? People must be talking about it.
Yeah, obviously it's ever revolving. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with regard to how it's going to pan out. I know that, you know, the PGA Tour just said that there's going to be a fall series next year, 2023, no cut, 8 events. I think it's a lot of golf, which, you know, the big names aren't really going to be happy with, because at the end of the day, you know, with the wraparound season, which is happening at the moment, you know, you feel like you have to play, because, you know, you look at, you know, you finish at the Tour Championship, and then 2 weeks later, or a week later, whatever it is, you start at, in California for Safeway.
Mm.
And, you know, then you go from Safeway to Sanderson Farms, Sanderson Farms to Mexico, Houston, and it's ever evolving. So it's a difficult situation from a player's standpoint, in my opinion, with the fact that, you know, what the PGA Tour is trying to do to keep the players on the PGA Tour playing for $20 million purse, 8 events, and it's going to make them play more when, in actual fact, they want to play less. They want to have some time off.
Yeah, because a lot of the players have been, you know, their arguments for joining LIV has been actually that, you know, they want more time with their families and so on. And I mean, what the PGA Tour is doing now is making that even harder, right?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, obviously the money is astronomical, which is what they're getting paid. Like, you know, you look at Brooks Koepka, which is the latest inclusion into LIV. He's getting paid $150 million sign-on bonus, which is an astronomical amount of money.
Mm.
And he's having to play 14 events, which from a player's perspective, take the monetary value out of the situation, that's very enticing for a lot of players because, as you said, a lot of guys want to spend time with their family. A lot of players want to spend time doing other things other than playing golf. Whereas now on the PGA Tour, with the wraparound season, you're having to play 26, 28 events a year. And now with this new inclusion for the, you know, the $20 million purses, no cut, you know, obviously you don't have to play, but, you know, it's enticing to play because you're playing for so much money. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yep, for sure.
Mm.
Let me see. Okay. There's a question regarding, you know, the Friday in the US Open. You know, Victor is 2 under through, was it 6?
2 under through 7.
7 and looking very good. And then something happens that's never happened since he turned pro. He makes 6 bogeys in a row, 9 on the last 11. I think people are just curious, you know, how was that experience from your point of view? And also, how did you feel that the round evolved? You know, what were you talking with Victor about? What kind of happened behind the scenes there?
Look, it's the US Open. You know, the golf course is the hardest golf course you'll ever play.
Mm.
With, you know, all the elements, with the wind, everything that comes with it. You don't even need to hit a bad shot and you're going to make a bogey. So for that to happen, that's golf. I don't know what else to say about it, but, you know, it's golf.
Yeah.
It's a US Open.
A couple of bogeys came from good positions as well. Then it hit a couple of good drives in the fairway. In a position to kind of attack. So that was it a little bit, just then they ended up being a little bit too aggressive, missing on the wrong side, or?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, 17, for instance, we had 90 or 92 meters to the flag.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we had the world behind it. And, you know, we decided to hit a 56, hit a great shot, land a pin high, spun off the green. And, you know, once again, that's US Open. 18 hits it in between the bunkers and he's in this long wispy grass. It's a great shot out of the wispy grass, hits it in the front bunker at plugs. There's another bogey.
Mm.
And get on the first hole, and we had 152 meters to the flag. His 9-iron goes 142 meters. We tried to chip a 9-iron. It just goes over the green, and, you know, we didn't get up and down. Then we 3-putt the next. We're in the middle of the fairway on the next, and the wind's hurting out of the left. We had 6-iron. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but, you know, it lands on the green, and it, like, literally just trickles over the green, and he's got a nasty lie again. Once again, like I said, it's the US Open. It's extremely difficult. And, yeah, like I said, it's golf.
Skulf for sure. You mentioned that you were texting with Victor because a lot of people are, you know, they're wondering how do you stay connected to Victor when there's not a tournament going? He also, one of the guys also mentions that I hope they don't go in each other's nerves because I want to keep Shay as a caddy for Victor.
It's a complete opposite. Yeah, okay. We keep it extremely light. Don't talk about golf at all. Just, yeah, shoot the, you know what, and yeah, just chat, really. Not about nothing, about whatever. You know, we spoke about Brooks signing with Liv. I don't really know what we're speaking about, actually. Just chatting. Just like friends do.
And you have, when we talked to you before, you mentioned your kind of career on the PGA Tour, because a lot of the guys who are new to golf are wondering, you know, what's your background? If you could just quickly tell us a little bit about who you worked with before and how you started working with Victor.
So I played a lot of golf back in the day. I was a member of the Australian Golf Club, and Matt Jones was a member there as well. And we played a bunch of amateur events, Australian amateur, New South Wales amateur. Bunch of tournaments. And Matt Jones started out with Matt Jones. Once he turned pro back in 2006 or 7, he was on the Nationwide, asked me to come over, got his PGA Tour card, worked with him for 5.5 years. Then we parted ways, worked for Martin Laird for just under 2 years. We parted ways again, and then started working for Sean O'Hare for 5 years. He tore the cartilage off the bone in his left oblique, and so he was injured. I was looking for work, and then, you know, Victor and I started. So that's pretty much it in the short story.
It's good.
Want me to elaborate a little bit more? Then
yeah, for sure. I can just finish off with two questions. One, have you still not skydived after?
No, we haven't.
No,
but we're doing it. We're doing it in Dubai.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
Yes, that's.
We'll see.
We'll see about that.
He's going to chicken out.
Unless Victor pulls out of the tournament again like he did last year.
He's going to find the reason. He's going to say Kevin has another heart attack and something like that.
It was funny because we were meant to play Dubai and he ended up pulling out. I'm like, of course he. Like I had the tickets booked, had them all booked. We're ready to go. Then he pulls out, and then I was going to plan on doing it in Dubai at the start of the year when we were doing Abu Dhabi in Dubai, and I got COVID, so I couldn't go. So yeah, that was in a nutshell. So hopefully. We do it in Dubai at the end of the year.
I was hoping you were going to say we were going to do it in Norway, but we'll see.
Hey, if we can do it in Norway, if you guys want to set it up, then I'm more than happy to do it.
I mean, I'm all for it. So just
are you guys going to do it as well, or what?
I mean, I would join, of course.
Marius,
I've never done it before. So.
If you do it, I can't really sit on the sideline, can I?
Well, if you guys organize it, I'll be more than happy to get in that plane and do it. I would love it. It is the most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my life.
Okay. Aren't you doing this? Are you booked the zip line, haven't you?
I haven't booked it yet, no, but we're going to do it.
But what we can do, I mean, skydiving is one thing, but what we can do is we can zip line. It's something called Holmenkollen. Are you doing that? Yeah. That's awesome.
Sherry and I are staying at, I can't remember the hotel that Marius mentioned.
The Scandic.
Yes, so we're staying there the first 2 nights. And
the paparazzi is going to stand outside Scandic. Well.
Oh, don't say that. I shouldn't have told him. I've never signed an autograph in my life, so hopefully I don't have to start.
It's going to be the first one in Norway. Yeah, you need to practice. At least you're going to be better than Victor.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Too funny.
Okay, so the last question is from Andreas. He is just he just wants.
Is this Victor's friend Andreas or
no? It's no. A, I think.
No, okay.
And he is just he has tickets for the Open, and his question for you is, if you can please make sure that Victor makes the cut, so his tickets won't be thrown in the garbage. I think it's going to be
Saturday and Sunday only.
I will try my best.
I think that's good enough. That's good enough. Okay. Okay, Shay, thank you so much for jumping on the call and joining us. And we will we look forward to seeing you next Friday at the right invitational. And who knows, maybe there's going to be some skydiving involved one of the days.
As I said, if you guys organize it, I'll be there with bells on.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sorry to keep you guys waiting.
No, for sure. That's so cool.
Look forward to seeing you guys next week.
You too.
See you next week, Shay. Take care.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.